Jill Anderson's a botanist and plant ecologist, and she joins us periodically to talk about phenology, or what's going on in our woods and waters right now. Welcome, Jill.
Hi.
Well, they're probably the most delicate-looking moth and the most interesting color. Talk about Luna moths.
Sure. Well, they are one of those really, really amazing members of our insect fauna. They're the giant silkworms. They're the royal moths, they're referred to as that, and they're surely some of the most exotic and colorful and unique critters that roam around in our woods. In addition to the Luna moth, which, as you say, is quite large, the other royal moths that we see in Minnesota are the Cecropia moth and the Polyphemus moth. Luna moths are strictly North American moths. So although they're widespread, there is at least some indication that in some parts of their range, they've really diminished in numbers. And I don't know that that's the case in our part of the range, but my experience here is that it's never been easy to see them. Now, that doesn't mean they aren't common, but they fly, the adults fly strictly at night. They may be a moth that you're apt to encounter in the morning after if you're somewhere where there's been a big bright light on during the night, because like most moths, they will come to a bright light. But anyway, Luna moths are this kind of iridescent celery green, wingspan of 4 to 4.5 inches. So these are big moths, and actually their wings are a little bit longer in the other direction than they are wide, because of their elaborate tails on the hind wing. And both of the hind and forewings have very prominent eye spots, which are common to all the royal moths. They have very plumose antennae, so they look like big feathers. And the males can be distinguished from the females because their antennae are larger and more obviously plumy in shape. And they're white-bodied, very plump white bodies, and kind of pinkish legs. And the forewings, the front wings, also have kind of a purplish edge, leading edge to them. So really just incredibly beautiful moths. During the day, they would typically be found resting on a tree or on a branch of a tree, and they fold up their wings, including those elongated tails on the hind wings, and they actually resemble a leaf with its petiole. So this is a great disguise, right, to be out of easy, not easily distinguished by a predator over the course of the day when you're just hanging around waiting for night to come. The females give off a pheromone, a chemical scent, in the night, and that's what brings the males and females together. And once they have mated, the females will very soon after lay up to 200 eggs, either singly or in small clusters of eggs, more often on the leaves of aspen, willow, birch, and oak. And the caterpillars, about 10 days later, will hatch out and begin feeding on those very same leaves. And they grow into quite beautiful entities themselves, the similar celery green, and get to be quite robust in size, 2.5 inches long, very heavy bodied. So a person might encounter the caterpillar, out and about, as well as the adults. And the caterpillars, of course, are around quite a bit longer. The adult Luna moths only live until they've mated, in the case of the males, or until they've laid their eggs. So they're very short lived. The adults don't feed at all. They're living off the energy that has been stored up by the caterpillar over the course of its life the previous summer. And those that are born this year, once they have gone through several phases of growth over the course of the summer, they will drop down onto the litter, forest litter layer, and they'll wrap themselves up in a leaf. They'll make a cocoon that incorporates a leaf surrounding them and down on the ground in the litter layer. So they're very camouflaged once they create their cocoon, and that's where they'll spend the winter before they emerge in, anywhere from late May to early June, and begin the cycle all over again. people are very familiar, I'm sure, with how many different kinds of animals, including other insects, develop these traits to put predators off from distinguishing them. So that could be great camouflage, like we talked about the Luna moth folding up its wings and looking like a leaf, or it could be a hard shell like a turtle has or a tortoise has that gives defense, or a really powerful venom, or a bad taste like monarchs. So there are all these ways that critters have tried to put off predators. And one of them has been to have, like the Luna moths have, these eye spots. Or it could be, in the case of a lizard, a tail that'll break off in a bird's mouth. So things that draw the predator to less important part of the body, away from the main event. Well, Luna moths have these eye spots, so they have that particular kind of distraction to predators. But the question arises, so what if you're a predator who doesn't use visual cues to go after your prey? So let's say you as a predator are using smell, or in the case of bats, you're using sound, you're using echolocation, you're bouncing sound off of things. So it turns out that bats as echolocators are not immune to distractions by frills. A great example of this, turns out, are the tails of Luna moths. The research that I was reading about showed that as the Luna moth flies, these tails are spinning, creating this wild pattern of spinning. And more often than not, that bat's echolocation is interfered with by these spinning tails. And when bats do manage to zero in on a Luna moth, the tails also act as a distraction to the bat to go after something that's less important. So if you're a Luna moth that has tails, you're more likely than not be able to avoid detection, accurate detection by a bat. And if they do find you out, fairly often they will go after your tails instead of the other important parts of you. And a Luna moth who has lost its tails is 9 times as likely to be eaten by a bat as one who has retained its tails. So next time you run into one of those beautiful moths, you can think about the beautiful but functional parts of its body.
Jill Anderson regularly fills us in on current events in the woods. Thanks for helping us understand Luna moths.
You're welcome.